Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Welcome into the Fantasy Football Mailbag, a RotoViz podcast. This is our June 18th episode, and as always, we are dedicated to answering all of those fantasy football questions. I'm your host, Mike Randall. You can find me on Twitter at RandallRand, and today we have one of the favorites here at the Mailbag, Marcus Mosier, joining us to break down the landscape of the entire fantasy football world. He is the managing editor at the Raiders Wire, host of Locked On Cowboys and Locked On Dynasty, and doing fantastic work now for the Game Day NFL and bookies as well. You can find him on Twitter at Marcus_Mosier. Marcus, always a pleasure to have you here, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Mike. This is one of the podcasts I look forward to the most all offseason long to doing. So I'm excited to jump into it.
Same for me, man. And, you know, it's great. We've had you on in the past in RotoViz for our old team preview series that I did with Colin Kelly and Neil Dutton, so many great guys. You would come in to talk about the Cowboys or you would preview the NFC East. And now you've grown. You're a regular here on the Mailbag talking about fantasy football. You're working across the country, different sites, doing great stuff. Game Day NFL. Great stuff on Twitter. Love following you. Get the video clips and stuff. So just talk about how things are going and how you've evolved in your career to this point.
Yeah, things are going really well. Now, it's busier than ever, but that's good, right? Like, we like to stay busy, not only doing NFL stuff, also doing NBA stuff over at the Game Day. But I've been very blessed to have a lot of opportunities to do a lot of different things between, you know, regular betting stuff and game previews and fantasy football and Dynasty and Cowboys and Raiders. It's incredibly busy, but it's a blessing.
Marcus, you are one of the best in the breakdowns. You can look at it from a specific lens. You can also talk about it in terms of videos and players. So I can't wait to dive in. And I want to start with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, of course, right?
Yeah, of course. That's where I got to begin. So many questions for you and a really compelling team here as we move into 2021. Fantasy football fans coming back, COVID behind us in the rearview mirror. I want to start with the big guy, Dak Prescott. He was on a historic pace last year before getting injured in that Giants game, that gruesome injury. I'm hearing that he's all the way back, but he is really, I think, a value in fantasy football if he's anywhere near where he was before that injury. So talk about the Dak Prescott injury and the update where he's at right now.
I mean, if you saw him at practice right now, you'd have no idea that he wasn't injured ever. I mean, he looks like he's 100%. He looks healthy. He looks fantastic. I think he's been incredible in OTAs and minicamp so far. I don't envision anything being a problem at all. I think he's going to be just fine this year. This offense is going to be absolutely incredible. I think there might be a little bit more of a hesitancy for him to take off and run, but he's still going to be just as efficient as a passer as ever.
And now we look in the running back situation. Zeke Elliott, certainly solid. I put something out on Twitter, though, yesterday. You saw your video out about Tony Pollard and sort of jumped on top of it. I just think that contract, Marcus, they were backed into a corner. He had the holdout. Yeah. But that it's really support for me of Tony Pollard. Are we going to see him more on the field? So many weapons there in Dallas. But is his role going to grow? Because when he's been out there, when he started, when he's been able to catch the ball in space, he's very elusive and very dangerous.
I would think it would have to, right, Mike? Like, you can't watch Tony Pollard and say, nah, we don't need to get this player on the field, right? It doesn't make any sense to me. So I don't think he's ever going to become the lead back. I don't think it's going to be a 50-50 split with Pollard or Zeke. But is it realistic to see him get 8 to 10 touches every single week and maybe 2 or 3 out of the backfield or 2 or 3 out of the slot? I don't think so. Again, if Zeke ever goes down, Tony Pollard is an RB1, right, in fantasy. Every single week that Zeke is not available, he's an RB1. I do think he has a chance to have some, you know, RB3 standalone value. But yeah, I do envision 8 to 10 touches per week for Tony Pollard.
It comes down to a risk in our seasonal leagues because Tony Pollard is a guy who really sort of lights up there. His ADP is late. If you go zero RB, modified zero RB, and you want to grab a couple guys and take a flyer, like you said, the upside is certainly there. What about CeeDee Lamb? CeeDee Lamb really was getting a ton of targets, really dominating the slot. He stepped right in, sort of leapfrogged Michael Gallup in a way. I see a big year for CeeDee Lamb, but of course, crowded target share with Amari Cooper as well. CeeDee Lamb, super talented. Dallas lucked into him, and I bet the Falcons wish they would have drafted him instead of passing on him for a cornerback there, but it fell into Dallas's lap. What do you see CeeDee Lamb this year in fantasy and with the Cowboys?
He's going to have a monster season. So last year, in the first 5 games when Dak Prescott played, he was on pace to have over 1,400 yards in that Cowboys offense as a rookie. And that was with him not even playing 95% of the snaps. In fact, the highest percentage of snaps that he played in the first 5 weeks of the season was 83%. I just don't see a way that the Cowboys can take him off the field this year. I think he's going to be in the 90-95% of the snaps. The Cowboys are trying to move him around so he can play more on the outside, play in the slot. He is going to have a fantastic season. If he stays healthy, I would be shocked if he didn't lead the team in touchdowns. I think he's a lock to be 1,200 yards, double-digit touchdowns this year.
Yeah, very high on CeeDee Lamb for me as well. Amari Cooper certainly has produced, is a star wide receiver, but I will say, Marcus, he's a little polarizing in the fantasy community. People get frustrated with Cooper. They feel he's not at that elite level. Some people, as we mentioned, like CeeDee Lamb, so they think maybe his stats are going to take a step back. The criticisms come, always struggles against top cornerbacks and matchups, but super talented guy and really a historic producer at the wide receiver position to a start in his career. Talk about Amari Cooper.
I don't understand the hate for Amari Cooper at all. Like I don't get it. So in his first year with the Cowboys in 2018, he put up 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns. In 2019, with the full season of Dak Prescott, just under 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns. And then last year with Dak Prescott, Andy Dalton, Ben DiNucci, and Garrett Gilbert, just another 1,100 yard season and 5 touchdowns. So he's about as consistent as it comes. I know that sometimes the week-to-week stuff can be a little frustrating, but I think he's one of the best wide receiver twos if you can get him there right now in fantasy. Even if he's your wide receiver one, man, I think he's pretty consistent. You know that he's going to be – he plays through injury. He's going to catch 90-something passes this year. He's going to average about 13, 14 yards a catch, and he's going to come close to that 1,200-yard mark. I just don't get the hate for Amari Cooper.
And he's a safe option too. Last 2 years with the targets, 130, 119, had over 100 there combined with the Raiders and Cowboys back in 2018. So in a big offense with a big quarterback, very consistent target share. And the last one, of course, is tight end, because can all these offensive weapons be viable? We mentioned Zeke, Pollard a little bit, the wide receivers. Where do you see at the tight end now? Blake Jarwin coming back. Dalton Schultz, what do you see with those two guys?
Yeah, first and foremost, all these guys can be viable because I think the volume is going to be there and the efficiency is going to be there, right? I mean, we saw last year the Cowboys were throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game. And if Dak Prescott is completing close to 70% of his passes, you know, over 8 yards attempt, yeah, all these guys have a chance to be viable fantasy options. However, I don't know who the tight end is going to be for this team yet. Blake Jarwin is still not quite healthy. The team hopes that he's going to be ready for training camp. I kind of think Dalton Schultz is just a better player. He's certainly the more well-rounded player. And I kind of think that in this offense, Schultz might just be the better option. So I do think there's a chance that whoever the tight end is for the Cowboys ends up as a top 12, top 15 option. But as of right now, if you're doing drafts, I would probably stay away.
And all of this adds up to the fact that currently in Underdog Fantasy, Dak Prescott is the QB5, and that, Marcus, may end up being his floor if he's totally back to normal, which, as you mentioned, it seems like he is. Let's flip to one of your other teams here that you're all over, the Raiders. You know, Josh Jacobs is an interesting guy. Mm-hmm. He comes in as a rookie, plays very well. Then we turn around and John Gruden's upset that Josh Jacobs doesn't get the offensive rookie of the year, that Kyler Murray gets it. Promises at this point, and half of this Marcus is trying to figure out fact from fiction with coach speak right around this time of year. He said he's going to feed him. He's going to be a weapon in the passing game. That doesn't materialize, but he does get the goal line touches. A lot of changes in the offensive line. Where do you see Josh Jacobs' fantasy value this year for the Raiders?
So currently in my best ball drafts that I'm doing right now, he is my highest owned player in all my drafts right now. And it's partly because of the where you can get him, right? A lot of times he's available in that fourth round, and I just don't get it, right? This is a guy that has back-to-back 1,300-yard seasons. I think he's actually just a good player, right? He had 12 touchdowns last year. When he's healthy, he's almost a lock for 80 total yards and almost a touchdown a game. So I like him. I think the Raiders improved their offensive line this offseason despite trading away three big known veterans. They're going to run the ball. He's going to get, you know, 15 to 18 touches at least per week. I like Josh Jacobs a lot. I think he's in for a big year.
Did go from 7 touchdowns as a rookie to 12 last year and 13 to 15 games. If he gets those 15 games in, definitely he's going to get the goal line touches and he's going to be a guy who has value.
Mike, can I say something really quickly? That offensive line last year was absolutely atrocious. I mean, they had so many injuries and they had so many guys miss time due to COVID. Trent Brown basically missed the entire season. Richie Incognito played only 2 games. Gabe Jackson was a shell of himself. So a lot of those big name guys that they moved on from, it sucks on paper. But Josh Jacobs' offensive line that he was playing behind last year was atrocious. I do think they have a chance to be better. If they can even be slightly better, I think you're going to see that efficiency go back up. Because he was at, I believe, like 3.9 yards per carry this year. I don't envision it being that low at all this year.
It's a great point. Right now, Josh Jacobs is going on Underdog in best ball leagues as the RB21. And folks, as Marcus said, his production is pretty consistent with the running backs that are in the same area as him. He is going directly behind David Montgomery, who really saved the season with a great, strong schedule and a great end of season finish last year. Mike Davis, who's switching teams going to Atlanta, which again only has a small sample size from Carolina last year, was very good, but we don't know how he can do for an entire year. And Travis Etienne, who's a rookie, mm-hmm. in a three-headed backfield, according to Urban Meyer. So Jacobs does have value where he's going. His backfield teammate, Kenyon Drake, I just have a gut feeling here that Kenyon Drake can be very involved in this offense. Kenyon Drake, pretty much a pass catcher in Miami, not a lead back, then goes to Arizona, is supposed to be the lead back, and was third last year with rushes inside the 5-yard line, just didn't convert a ton. Sort of was out of the passing game. Chase Edmonds did more. Now he comes in, and it looks like, Marcus, he's going to be more of the third down receiving back, which may be a better role for him. Kenyon Drake, another sort of later round running back that's available. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I don't think he's a bad option either, because I do think there's touches available to him, because we saw last year, you just look at even like Jalen Richard had 20 receptions and 20 carries. I mean, not a ton, but I don't think he's going to get that work. Devontae Booker had 17 receptions and almost 100 carries. So I think the offense is going to run through these two guys. Drake is certainly going to be more inconsistent week to week. It's going to be a little bit more of a matchup play. But if you are in a best ball draft and you're just looking for 3 or 4 usable weeks out of the year for Kenyon Drake, I do think there's some value there.
Hey, RotoViz Radio listener. This is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package, is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Henry Ruggs goes first last year, first wide receiver off the board, then has a disappointing year, although, Marcus, probably one of the most memorable catches in that late connection with Carr against the Jets that, in essence, knocked the Jets out of the first overall pick. But you have him, you have Bryan Edwards, and, of course, they now have John Brown, deep threats here surrounding Derek Carr. Talk about those receivers. Are we going to see the Ruggs breakout? Is Edwards going to step forward after a lot of preseason hype? And are we forgetting about John Brown, who in fantasy drafts is the third receiver available very late here? Talk about that wide receiving core.
I would stay away from these guys if I was in drafts right now. Last year, the Raiders had the second fewest wide receiver targets in the NFL, 14.9 per game. That's just not enough to get any consistent value, right? I know Ruggs was really efficient, and I know there's a lot of people that like Bryan Edwards, including myself. But I just there's just not going to be enough targets, right? This offense is a run-first offense that is, goes through Darren Waller in the passing game, and then when they get to third down, it's Hunter Renfrow. Everybody else is just a complementary piece, and some players have a bigger role. Henry Ruggs is going to take the top off the defense, but he's not somebody that you can rely on from a fantasy perspective. So stay away from all of them unless the only one that's intriguing to me is Ruggs if his ADP really drops. But where he's at right now, I'm out.
You know, it's very funny about Hunter Renfrow. His preseason receiving total was something like high 600s. And a lot of people jumped on that right away. Hunter Renfrow last year, 56 receptions, 656 yards. I did not bet that, Marcus, but there would have been a sweat with Hunter Renfrow. He does get some decent targets here and is productive in this offense, no?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, we're going to see him average 4 or 5 targets a game at least on those, you know, third and six, third and sevens. And again, there's just not enough targets to go around if the receivers are only accumulating 15 total per game. The Raiders want to be a run-first offense. They want to grind out the clock. They want to play a very slow, efficient style of offense. And these are typically the offenses that we want to stay away from fantasy, unless we're taking the running backs.
Well, the reason that there are limited targets going to the wide receivers is because Darren Waller gets a ton of targets. And I feel he is in the shadow of Travis Kelce. What you see in either underdog, FFPC, best ball leagues, Travis Kelce going top 4, top 5. And then Darren Waller's available sometimes in the second round. Last year, 107 receptions. That's more than Kelce. 145 targets, almost 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns. Are we not giving Waller the credit he deserves? And is he in that Travis Kelce tier for fantasy?
I'm not sure if he's in the Travis Kelce tier, but he is certainly a better value because I've got him sometimes in the early third round. Like there's been times in underdog fantasy where he's fallen that far. And it's just it's a great value because he's so consistent from week to week. Everything the Raiders have done on offense in terms of their passing game is revolved around Darren Waller, getting him open, moving him around in the slot, keeping him away from press coverage. They are going to do everything possible to make sure that he catches 105, 110 passes a season because he's their best weapon on offense, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
One of the best values in fantasy, I agree. You get an early, you get a sort of middle pick there. You can grab a top running back and then come back with Waller and really have set yourself up here before you dive into the wide receivers.
Yeah, if you could go, I mean, even if you could pick it like 3 or 4, there's a lot of times where he'll be available to you at the, you know, in the back end of the second round. I think that's a fantastic start.
Crazy value. I totally agree. On your margarita, salt or no salt here, Marcus?
I'm not a margarita fan. Something with tequila. I'm just not a fan.
Yeah, the tequila bothered me back from my 21st birthday, so I have no problem with that. I like them, but the salt or no salt has been sort of a hot topic here. Connor,
I feel like salt. I would be a salt person if I like margarita, but I'm just not.
That's fair. So what's your choice in the summer? I got to ask. If you're lounging by a pool or something, what's your drink of choice?
Ooh, so honeymoon was like 50 pina coladas. I mean, I always go back to the pina coladas, but I had a nice blue Hawaiian yesterday. Those were good. I like some pineapple juice and coconut rum is always great. I'm all summer drinks.
I totally agree. On my honeymoon, all I did was point at the guy and put my finger in the air, spun it around. I had a pina colada with me within minutes. Totally agree. And,
do you like the dark rum or do you like the light rum when you're pina colada?
Oh, I like the light rum. I like the light rum with the coconut. Absolutely. The old Malibu rum. Absolutely.
Malibu. See, I can go either way. I think in Jamaica it's Appleton rum. I think is what they have. Yeah. But I'm good with any.
Yeah, when in Rome, right? I totally agree. We're Zero RB fans here at RotoViz. We call it modified Zero RB, which some people say is jumbo shrimp on Twitter. But the point is that you start with a lead running back and then you hammer wide receiver and maybe even tight end. You put a best ball draft that you did up there recently where you went robust RB. Talk about it. Looks pretty damn good to me, though.
Yeah, I mean, this is the fun time of the offseason where you get to try out different builds. And at Underdog Fantasy, you can do drafts for, what, $3? And it's fun to try these out. So as we get closer, you have an idea of how you want to draft. I really like the RB start. Now, I made a mistake here. I took a couple too many running backs, but the value was just too good on Javonte Williams in most start. But I do think there's a lot of value at wide receiver after the first 50 picks or so. In this draft, I was able to grab like Kenny Golladay and Jerry Jeudy, I think in like the sixth and seventh round. I think that's absolutely phenomenal. I think this is something I'm certainly interested in. But yeah, when you take six basically running backs in your first 8 picks, that's maybe one or two too many.
You talked about Javonte Williams. That's bothered me because like you, I'm doing best ball drafts left and right. And I ended up taking a running back early in a lot of them and hammering wide receiver. And for some reason, around 8 or 9, I ended up with Melvin Gordon. And I was against Melvin Gordon, but you start saying, you know, maybe he's not a cut candidate. Maybe he'll start the year off strong and they'll sort of ease Javonte Williams in. But what I'm seeing on social media, that is not the case. It looks like Williams could be the start of week one, no?
Well, it also sounds like Melvin Gordon's having a nice camp as well. And it seems like we're leading to just a complete mess of a backfield, right? And where maybe Melvin Gordon is a starter, but Javonte Williams is the closer. And maybe Gordon is on the field in passing situations because he's the better blocker. I don't know, but I do think I want part of this offense because I still believe, Mike, that by the time we get to September and October, it's not going to be Drew Locke who's the quarterback there in Denver. I think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. And listen, I'll ask you this one. If we knew Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback right now of the Denver Broncos, how much does that change all of these running backs' value? Like, do they all shoot up two rounds?
I'll tell you this. I'm ignoring everything that people are saying about, you know, Drew Locke and the concerns. I am operating as if they receive, at a minimum, solid quarterback play from like a Teddy Bridgewater. Sometimes in my best ball drafts, I'm grabbing Locke and Teddy Bridgewater because they're so late. I mean, FFPC drafts, you can get them around 24, 25. So I'm just grabbing both of them. And look, it could be Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers goes there, this team is a Super Bowl contender already. The defense is elite. The receivers are tremendous. Did we forget about Cortland Sutton? He's coming back. Mm-hmm. Noah Fant, one of the most athletic tight ends in the league. The offensive line is improved. So I think they're a Super Bowl contender. If Rodgers goes there, I think that raises the value of everyone. And I'm operating in my drafts as if they're going to be good regardless. Jerry Jeudy, I've gotten him almost every draft that I've done. Because if Aaron Rodgers goes there, oh my goodness.
I think Judy's a value right now, regardless of Aaron Rodgers comes to Denver or not, because I just can't imagine that Drew Locke is going to be the quarterback again for this team. They can't go into the season with Locke, right? Mm-hmm. And Bridgewater does seem like the quarterback that would make the most sense with Jeudy, right? Because he's somebody who, if a receiver's open, he's going to get them the ball. Yeah. Well, do you know what Jerry Jeudy does? He gets open a lot. So I think Judy's a good value. I think that whole offense is undervalued right now because we're just in limbo at quarterback. I do expect them to have much, much better quarterback play at some point this season.
Totally agree. I'm trying to pounce on the uncertainty here because that team is, I think they're going to be very, very good. Tua Tagovailoa throws 5 interceptions in a monsoon and social media erupts. Twitter all over the place. I don't really give a darn about his interceptions. I think the guy's going to be really strong. Last year, he comes in, takes over Fitzpatrick. Not a lot of time to acclimate. Not that many weapons, right? Just Devontae Parker, who it looks had his one contract year, and that may be it for the rest of his career. But talk about Tua. Where do you rank him with those Dolphin wide receivers in the prism of best ball right now or redraft? Either one. How do you look at Tua and the Dolphins?
So first and foremost, I don't understand why people are getting upset about Tua throwing 4 or 5 interceptions in practice, because if you've ever been to these OTAs and minicamps, this is what quarterbacks do, because this is the time for a quarterback to figure out what he can and can't do on a field, right?
Yep.
There was a practice, I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago, that I was at with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. He might have thrown 9 interceptions in a practice, but nobody cares because it's Aaron Rodgers. He was just trying to see what he could get away with in a game, right?
Yep.
Trying to throw back shoulder fades with 2 guys on, Devontae Adams. It doesn't matter at this stage in the offseason. I actually kind of like it that he's being aggressive and trying to fit in throws.
Yes,
so
yes.
This is not discouraging to me at all. Now, ranking the Dolphins receivers is really, really tough because there's just a lot of them, right? Between Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle, then Mike Gesicki. All I know is I want Will Fuller. That's the guy I want. I know he's suspended week 1, but Will Fuller, when he's healthy, gives you, at worst, wide receiver 2 production. I think he's actually a great fit with Tua. I think he's going to hit multiple big plays down the field. And right now, he's pretty cheap in your underdog fantasy drafts. I believe he's going at ADP 80 or 81. That's the guy I want.
Yeah, and Will Fuller last year, the suspension happened. So then, of course, we have recency bias. People forget about him. Let's remember, folks, that from week 3 until week 9, all Will Fuller did, like Chris Carter, was catch touchdowns. A touchdown every single week. And then week 12 against Detroit, before he's done for the year, overall wide receiver 271 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns for Will Fuller. When he's on the field, he produces, and this is all good stuff for Tua. I have to admit, Marcus, I have an issue with the Jalen Hurts ranking. I think people are being too myopic here. They're saying Konami code, he rushes, he's going to be good. I don't know if it's that easy. They don't like Daniel Jones, who also runs. I know he fell there in the game on national TV that he didn't get the end zone. And, of course, Lamar Jackson, no one runs more than him. It seems like the Jalen Hurts people poo-poo Daniel Jones and then don't give credit to a Lamar Jackson resurgence. Am I missing the boat on Hurts, and how do you see those other quarterbacks with the Konami code? Is it really just as simple as if they run, they will produce? Or do you have to have a certain amount of skill as a passer in order to really overcome – really supplement the rushing ability?
So I'm kind of with you. I own zero shares of Jalen Hurts right now.
Zero. Yes.
And it's partly because of the cost right now. Like, the quarterbacks going after Jalen Hurts are like Joe Burrow, Matt Stafford, Ryan Tannehill, Aaron Rodgers. I don't worry about any of those guys getting benched because they can't complete 60% of their passes. You know what I mean? It's not that I don't think Jalen Hurts can have big games, because we obviously saw it last year. I just don't necessarily trust him as a passer yet. And then talking about Daniel Jones, for me, that one's simple. Jason Garrett is still his offensive coordinator, correct?
That's the problem.
It's Jason Garrett, right? And I don't trust Jason Garrett at all. They have all these new shiny toys with Kenny Galladay and Kadarius Toney. And the coordinator that I would trust least to use those guys correctly is Jason Garrett. I think that's going to be, again, a very slow offense. I don't think they want Daniel Jones running as much as he did last year or the year before that. And again, Daniel Jones is somebody who, the ADP is really nice because he's going after quarterback 20, but there's still guys that I would prefer behind him. Like, I actually I would rather take Deshaun Watson and hope that he comes back than Daniel Jones.
Okay.
Because if Deshaun Watson plays, I'm getting a QB1. I don't know if Daniel Jones is going to ever give me QB1 weeks. I just don't know.
That's a really excellent point. And you have the value. There's a lot of late quarterback value. I just can't get to Jalen Hurts at 8.
No.
He's ahead of Tom Brady. I understand John Brady's immobile, but we saw the guy put up big games, 4 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns. I love Matthew Stafford, Marcus. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks to get. We're taking Jared Goff out, and we're putting Matthew Stafford in there. He has D-Jax, he has Kupp, he has Woods. Cam Akers could have a breakout, a great offensive mind. I would much rather have the less mobile Stafford than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Matt Stafford is my most exposed quarterback right now, the most exposure at the quarterback position. I think he's going to have a huge year. I've put a pretty big bet on him to win MVP. I think that offense is going to be just absolutely insane. That the team is going to be very good. The Rams have never won fewer than 9 games under Sean McVay. Look at all those weapons in that offense, right? You bring back Robert Woods. You have Cooper Kupp. They grab DeSean Jackson. They get Tutu Atwell. Cam Akers is, I think, going to be a star. Tyler Higbee in a breakout year, I think. I just really, really like that offense.
Yeah, last 3 games, including postseason, Cam Akers, 33 touches. Darrell Henderson, 3. I think he has a chance to be one of the best values out there in fantasy. Mm-hmm. And then Lamar Jackson. So the MVP season totally dominates, 36 passing touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 7 rushing touchdowns in 2019. Last year just didn't get the production that he had the year before, more interceptions, but still had the 7 rushing. Is Lamar Jackson someone you can see who can get back to those top 2-3 quarterbacks? Or do you feel, listen, he has a high floor, but I would put him a notch below those top guys because I have some receiving updates for him this year.
I love Lamar this year. I think last year was just the season from hell for them, right? Between COVID and Mark Andrews was never really the same. And Lamar was on the COVID list for a game against Pittsburgh. There was a stretch of like 25 days where they weren't able to practice at all because of COVID stuff. I do think Lamar is going to have a bounce back season. And I don't think he needs to bounce back that much further to be, you know, a top 2 or 3 quarterback. That's the great thing about Lamar. Just a little bit more efficient in the passing game, a tiny bit more volume, and we're back to talking about Lamar right after, like, Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback you want to own in your fantasy leagues.
You mentioned COVID just now. What are some things that you can't wait to do now that we're outside of, we're sort of COVID in the rearview mirror here? Give me a thing or two that you're saying, you know what, to the wife, let's get going here. Finally, we're free.
So first and foremost, going to the movies. Like that's the one that really hurt. My wife and I are big movie fans, and we used to go to at least a movie a week, and then we haven't been to one since COVID started. So that's a big one. The next one would be just eating inside at a restaurant, right? Like we've had to kind of pick our spots of where we've gone to eat. I can't wait to just get a bunch of friends together, go sit inside in a restaurant, hang out, have a couple drinks, because that sounds so much fun. And I think we're very, very close to doing that.
Yeah, we are close. East Coast here. Finally, people are going back inside. I mean, hopefully it's going to be a fun summer. That's a great one. Although with the summer, you go outside. But just to come inside with some friends and have some drinks, that's what life is totally about.
Yeah, I mean, living here on the East Coast, you know the weather can suck from time to time, right? So I'm excited for like the fall and the winter when we're actually able to go inside and eat.
Yeah, need consistency. Like we need a fantasy. Yes. We need consistency with our weather so we can plan our celebrations. Marcus, unrecognized weapons. I'm going to give you some lesser touted wide receivers who maybe are down on the depth chart on their current teams. And I'm curious to see where the upside is for them. How high do you think it can go? I've been touting Byron Pringle in Kansas City. No Sammy Watkins, obviously Tyreek Hill. Yes, Travis Kelce. We've seen DeMarcus Robinson. I feel it is what you get with him. But Pringle is an athletic, fast guy. Could really slide into a larger target share in Kansas City. What do you think about Byron Pringle this year?
I know there's a lot of people that are excited about him, but I'm just not one of them. I think this offense, it's going to be such a heavy amount of the targets go to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to get more volume as well.
Yep,
I think Mecole Hardman is going to factor in. DeMarcus Robinson is going to be annoying from a fantasy perspective, right? I don't know. I think there's going to be weeks where he looks good. I'll have no idea when to start him in your traditional season-long leagues. I'm probably out on Pringle.
Yeah, he's more late round best ball pick, but you never know with those big productions. And listen, if Tyreek Hill, a little injury there, he could move up. But I understand It's Mahomes and it's Kelce and Hill. They're going to dominate the targets. And then from there, you sort of roll the dice. But maybe a late round pick in best ball, you see how he goes with his athleticism.
Sure. I mean, it's a Kansas City receiver, right? There probably will be a chance for him to break out.
Yeah, because, you know, we always know Sammy Watkins is good for 3 touchdowns in some week. Usually it's week all one. Week one. You know, yeah, all week one, right. Go to Detroit. Amaron St. Brown, talented guy, has joined the Lions. Not a great receiving core there in Detroit. Jared Goff, biting kneecaps, Dan Campbell. What do you think about Amaron St. Brown?
I just have a hard time believing it. A day 3 pick with suboptimal speed with Jared Goff throwing him the football is going to be much from a fantasy perspective. At least, or unless he gets 100 targets this year, and I don't see that happening. Again, another receiver that I'm probably passing on right now.
Yeah, I'm out on St. Brown. I'm not throwing the dart there. One of the RV favorites here at RotoViz is Laviska Shenault. In Jacksonville, new offense, better quarterback play. DJ Chark disappointed last year. Now they have Marvin Jones. We're big on Visca. What say you?
I am a huge Laviska Shenault fan. At the game day right now, Shenault is my wide receiver 19 in Dynasty.
Wow.
I love him. I think he's the next DJ Moore. In fact, he's like 17 pounds heavier than DJ Moore, but very similar rookie seasons. The only thing that's stopping me or giving me a little bit of cause for concern is where does Urban Meyer line him up? But man, he's just their best offensive weapon. Like it's pretty clear he's the best player. He's so good after the catch. You can use him out of the slot. You can use him out of the backfield. He had a really strange offseason last year because he was hurt. It was a core injury, I believe. Missed the combine, didn't have a pro day due to COVID. Then, of course, the COVID offseason messed him up. Came in and played pretty well when he was healthy. So I love Shenault. I think he's a value right now. I do think there's a good chance that he gets 1,000 yards and 6 or 7 touchdowns this year.
And preseason buzz, so you got to figure out whether you believe it or not. There are great things being said about Elijah Moore out with the Jets. Big connection with Zach Wilson. They have some wide receivers there. Jamison Crowder now restructuring his contract. But hearing great things about Elijah Moore, could be New York's number 1 wide receiver. What are your thoughts on Moore out with the Jets?
I was way more excited about Elijah Moore until like 2 days ago when Jamison Crowder restructured his contract and came back, right? Because I thought Elijah Moore playing in the slot 75-80% of the time just is going to be a monster. Now I'm a little skittish just because there's so many other options there with Corey Davis and Jamison Crowder. We'll see if Denzel Mims turns into anything. I like Elijah Moore a ton from a dynasty perspective. I'm probably out as a rookie unless I can get him in my season long leagues later on in the year. Once maybe the Jets are out of contention and they fade Crowder out of the snaps.
Fantasy gamers don't like uncertainty.
No.
So players like Davante Adams and Michael Thomas, despite elite performances year after year, are being suppressed a little bit in their ADP. If Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback, Davante Adams would be going right in the middle of round 1. If Drew Brees was back, people would say the same about Michael Thomas. But I use the RotoViz Game Splits app. Looking at Davante Adams, he's played 7 games without Aaron Rodgers. And he has 91 with Aaron Rodgers. He's averaging 16.2 PPR points per game with Rodgers and 16.3 without Rodgers. Targets, 8.6 with, 8.9 without. You go to Michael Thomas using our Game Splits app here. 10 games without Drew Brees in his career. With Drew Brees, 18.5 PPR fantasy points per game. Without Drew Brees, 18.7. Targets also the same. Is the world giving too big a discount here on 2 elite wide receivers, Davante Adams, Michael Thomas?
I think in the case of Michael Thomas, absolutely. Because you mentioned the splits there with Thomas. They're incredible. I'm looking at the 2019 season that he had right now where it was Teddy Bridgewater first 6 games and then kind of a washed Drew Brees at the end of that season. He averaged almost 108 yards per game that season, despite 2 different quarterbacks. Even last year, I know he missed a lot of time, but in the 5 games that he started, 438 yards, did look pretty good, whether it was Taysom Hill, whether it was Wash Drew Brees. I think if Jameis Winston is the starter there with the Saints, I do think he's going to be back to that 1,400, 1,500, maybe 1,600-yard season. I think it'll be the first year in his career where he hits double-digit touchdowns. I think Michael Thomas is a huge, huge value right now in fantasy.
You know, I was on board Taysom Hill, and I'm trying to avoid take lock here because my argument, Marcus, was they used Taysom Hill last year when they had pretty much a Super Bowl contending team, but it does seem like they're going with Winston here. Maybe Sean Payton values Hill, but doesn't see him as an everyday quarterback. But I can't help but think if Winston starts with those interceptions, Hill's going to be right back in there.
Probably, but I also don't think that Michael Thomas is completely unusable with Taysom Hill either. They're going to get him the ball, right? There's just nobody else in that offense outside of Alvin Kamara that they're going to feed the ball to. And Sean Payton's smart. Like, they paid Michael Thomas $20 million a year. They're not going to use him as a decoy. They're not going to give him only a couple targets a game. As long as Michael Thomas is healthy, I think he's a wide receiver one every single week. And if Winston is the quarterback, as you mentioned, how many weeks are we going to rank Thomas as the number one receiver for that week? Because I think it's going to be most. And I think that's what gets me the most excited. And Mike, right now you can get him as wide receiver 9 in underdog fantasy, yeah, which is absolutely insane.
Yep. Both of them are looking like screaming values for me. I agree. If you were on Fear Factor, what's the one thing that would cause you to say, you know what, I'm out of here?
Yeah, heights. Anything that has to do with heights, I'm out. Even like going up on my roof to take sticks off or whatever, I'm out. It's just always been a big fear of mine. I can do the eating challenges or the snakes or whatever. That stuff doesn't bother me. It's the heights is where I get a little terrified.
Very fair. And then put, you know, like the old movie Snakes on a Plane, put heights and snakes for
yeah,
me.
There you go. That's awful. Yeah.
Awful.
No, see, I'm good on a plane though. That's what's weird is I'm on a plane. It's fine. I'm enclosed in, but it's like when I'm all out in open space is where I get a little anxious.
Very fair. Totally understand. Got a question here from Scott in Hasbrook Heights. How does Kenny Galladay's value increase or decrease? He's going from Stafford to Daniel Jones. He was indoors in Detroit. Now he's outdoors in the cold. Kenny Galladay, where do you place him a fantasy prognosis this year and seasonal?
Yeah, I don't love Kenny Galladay this year. I don't love Daniel Jones throwing the ball down the field. I don't love a lot of the routes that Jason Garrett's going to have that X receiver running. It's going to be a lot of slants and a lot of comebacks. They're just not going to target him down the field as much as they did in Detroit with Matthew Stafford. I don't know if the indoors-outdoors thing really bothers me at all. I mean, there might be one or two games out of the year where it's rainy and cold in New York. But for the most part, I think the biggest decrease is just in the quarterback and the offensive coordinator.
Marcus, I have a question here from on Twitter at Myers Horns Up. Wants to know about the Pittsburgh passing options. We have Deontay Johnson, who got off to a fantastic start until he had that issue with the drops. And then in that game, I actually had bet his over in receptions. He got benched for a while. You, of course, had Chase Claypool, who's efficient in the red zone. And then you had Juju Smith-Schuster, who had a lot of receptions, but not a lot of receiving yards. So where do you go here? Pittsburgh passing options. What do you think?
It's tough because I think all three of these guys are really good. I also think James Washington is a good receiver. Let's not forget about him. But they're also bringing back Eric Ebron. They drafted Pat Freiermuth in the second round. And then you got this basically call from ownership saying, hey, we need to run the ball more. Let's go pick Najee Harris in the first round. I kind of think right now, Mike, all of these guys are a little bit overdrafted. Like, I think Deontay Johnson's going at pick 55 right now in underdog. I believe Chase Claypool is a little bit after that. Juju is probably the guy I want because he's going significantly later. I just have a feeling that what we saw in the second half of last year from the Steelers is what we're going to see most of this year.
Yeah, and that was interesting to see about how the ownership was talking about establishing the run. Listen, probably good for Najee Harris,
yes,
but probably not great for the passing game with a quarterback in Ben who may be in his last year.
Can I ask you a question about Najee? Because right now I'm looking at his ADP, and he's being drafted a lot of times at, you know, mid-second, sometimes even late second. Do you anticipate by the time that we get to August and early September that Najee's going to be a first-round pick?
I think we're getting to the back end of the first round. Yes, because listen, there's a lot of question marks. I mean, people are not into Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We talked about how we both think he's going to have a big year because God forbid, Marcus, he does not score a touchdown within the 5-yard line on the first game of his rookie season. Then everything else is terrible. So I think people are worried about Kenyon Drake with Josh Jacobs. So I think Harris having the touch share, they're not worried about Benny Snell. So I think, yeah, he's going to creep up because they're going to start saying volume, volume, volume. And I'm not so sure because I don't think it's the running back, man, as much as it's the offensive line, right?
It's the offensive line. Yeah, that offensive line is among the worst five in football right now. However, we know how this goes, right? Like, we're going to get to August. We'll see a preseason game. Maybe it's even the Hall of Fame game that they play in. And Najee will have like a nice 10-yard run or a nice reception. And you're going to see his ADP skyrocket. It happens every single year.
Totally true. It's time for redraft lightning round. Give me the player you prefer in half point PPR formats at their current ADP. Start with the tight ends. He's rising like a meteor. Kyle Pitts, tight end 4. Or how about Tyler Higbee at tight end 8?
I have a hard time ever picking against Kyle Pitts because he's my tight end 1 in Dynasty. Mm-hmm. But for this year, give me Tyler Higbee.
Wow, I'm impressed. You know, same thing with me. I was against Pitts. I thought he's being, you know, overvalued. But then with Julio leaving, I'm with mm-hmm. you, though. I like the value with Higbee. I think with Stafford and the Rams offense, you and I are aligned. I think that's a good value there.
Well, I think there's just a legitimate chance for double-digit touchdowns there because who else is going to eat the touchdowns? It's not going to be Deshaun. It's not going to be Tutu Atwell. Maybe it's Cooper Kupp. Maybe. I don't know. I just think there's a big opportunity there for Tyler Higbee.
Folks, go to RotoViz Game Splits app. Look at Tyler Higbee's stats when Gerald Everett was not in the lineup for those four games a couple of years ago, and you will understand why Marcus and I like him. Wide receiver, DK Metcalf, Justin Jefferson, two prolific wide receivers right next to each other in ADP right now.
I like DK Metcalf. I mean, I don't think you can necessarily go wrong here, but I think Metcalf is a little safer. If you actually look at some of Justin Jefferson's production last year, I think it was like 40% came in the fourth quarter when the Vikings Good were just point. Getting absolutely Good smoked. I think the Vikings are going to have a better defense this year. I think they're going to be playing in more neutral game scripts, and I just think that's going to take down probably the average depth of target for Justin Jefferson and maybe the targets as well.
Next up, two running backs that have questions. DeAndre Swift, RB17. We have Anthony Lynn talking about his A-back and Jamal Williams. They're flirting with Todd Gurley. Right now, Swift, though, big in the passing game, of course, RB17 or Myles Gaskin. People just can't buy into Myles Gaskin. He was incredibly productive. Some are worried that this was just like a Kenyon Drake one-year thing. I don't know. Myles Gaskin, RB25, or DeAndre Swift, RB17.
I like Myles Gaskin. I think it's going to be a much better offense. I think the Dolphins are going to have a bunch of leads. I think they want to grind out the clock, and that defense is really good. So I think you're going to see a ton of, you know, second-half touches for Myles Gaskin. And the other thing is he was good last year. Like, when he played, he was very productive. The Dolphins did absolutely nothing to give him any competition. I'm going Myles Gaskin.
And in two QB leagues, two guys sort of unknown at this point, upside with Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold switching teams. Also two guys, Marcus, who may not be vaccinated from their cryptic comments, if you're into such things. But Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold, two QB leagues. Who do you like better?
Yeah, it's Cousins for me. I do think Darnold probably has the higher ceiling. Cousins knows that offense so well. He's got two receivers that he really trusts. If I'm looking for just a really rock solid quarterback too that has basically no chance of getting benched, it's Kirk Cousins for me.
Excellent. Chris Carson, Marcus. I'm calling this podcast Chris Carson Job Security. There is really no battle behind him. People can say there is, but Rashad Penny now is coming up with an injury in camp. They love Chris Carson. They stayed with him through the fumbling problems. The guy's a workhorse. He looks in tremendous shape on social media. You know they want to run the ball. Russ was cooking last year for half the year. Then they went back to the run game. As long as he stays healthy, I think Chris Carson is a really safe RB for your fantasy teams this year.
I agree. And they gave him a pretty sizable contract in the offseason. And I think they're going to want to get him touches. And I think right now he has an ADP of 33 at Underdog Fantasy. So after the first two rounds, if you just want a really solid RB2 on a good offense, I think that's a good call.
And where do you rank him? Who do you have him next to there? I mean, let's look at a Carson versus Najee Harris, a Carson versus Swift, a Carson versus,
yeah.
I don't know, do we get as high as Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Where do you have him ranked?
No, I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire quite a bit more. I like Najee even better than Clyde. But I would rather have him than the following running backs: DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, Miles Sanders, David Montgomery, Josh Jacobs. So right in that tier after the second round running backs, that's where I have our guy Chris Carson.
Which late round rookie pick, I'm talking in your dynasty leagues, rookie, let's say third round or later, do you think can have a big impact this year? So not one of the top rookies, you know, top running back or wide receiver, but a guy that you say, you know what, if things break right, could be a second half league winner for people.
I'm not quite sure where Josh Palmer's going. I think he's outside of the first two rounds right now in your rookie drafts, but that's somebody who is in a really good offense. There's only two receivers ahead of him in Mike Williams, who could never stay healthy, and Keenan Allen, who missed time last year. They took Josh Palmer in the third round. I think he could pretty easily carve out the wide receiver three role there. And in an offense that's going to throw as much as the Chargers will, I think he's got a chance to have some value.
That's a great call, because that offense is going to be lit. And if there is an injury there, Keenan Allen's got a couple years without an injury, and Mike Williams make the acrobatic catches down the sideline. That is an excellent, excellent call. Love it. Marcus, great stuff. Last question, then we will get you out of here. I want the bold prediction. I want the one I'm going to look back in December and go, Marcus called it. What's the fantasy football bold prediction for 2021?
Raheem Mostert is going to finish as a top 12 running back this year.
Love
in your league. So let me make the case before I go. His last 17 games, including the playoffs and including a couple games where he played like 20% of the snaps and had to leave, over 1,500 total yards and 16 touchdowns. This is an offense that it should be really, really good. I know that Trey Sermon was drafted by this team in the third round. He's going to have a role, but I still think Mostert is the best running back on this team. Tevin Coleman is gone. Jerick McKinnon is gone. Jeff Wilson is out. I think as long as Raheem Mostert is healthy, which I know that's always a big if, he's the clear-cut RB1 on the best rushing offense in football. I'm taking Raheem Mostert gladly right now at his ADP of 80, and I'm not looking back.
That is a brilliant call. It's almost like the forgotten guy because he's the veteran. They love Trey Sermon, but can he pass protect? I mean, there's a lot of questions. We've seen Mostert have a big, big year. You take him late, you can get off to a great start. And we know, Marcus, in fantasy, how important it is to get off to that good start, right?
Yeah, and even look at him in the first two games last year. He had over 258 yards in the first two games and two touchdowns. He got injured and he missed the next couple weeks. Came back. He had a game of 11 carries for 90 yards with three receptions and 30 yards, 17 carries for 65 yards, got hurt, came right back, and he was productive again. So anytime that he's healthy and on the field, you're going to want him in your lineups. And I just think that late in drafts is such a good value right now.
Excellent call. Folks, Marcus Mosier did an outstanding job for us today. Game Day NFL, bookies, Locked On Cowboys, Raider Wire, Locked On Dynasty. The guy knows it all, brings it. Fantastic follow on Twitter at Marcus_Mosier. My friend, it is always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate it. Looking forward to the season.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I love coming on. I love what you guys do at RotoViz, and I can't wait for the season.
Thank you for listening to RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes under the Fantasy Football Mailbag, a RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, so follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio and at Randall Rant. Make sure you tell a friend, and don't forget to sign up for a 10% discount on our podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. It's a no-brainer, folks. Thanks for tuning in.